Welcome after lunch. I have to do a few disclaimers. I'm going to do a lot of demos. Those who are here and are exclusively on Office 365, about half of the demos will be applicable to you at this point in time, but we are working hard on making the rest of them possible as well. So I just want to set expectations that for those who are really on Office 365 and would be unhappy after my presentation that I cannot show this yet in Office 365. Maybe look for another session. We should better not dim the light too much because then people cannot take notes, they have asked me. Okay. Second thing, I'm going to essentially do 1 hour of demos, functional demos without code. Tomorrow, there will be a session where we are going to expend more time essentially in the code. So I'm actually going to show more or less all the concepts. If you are a developer and you want to see code, also this is not the session. Tomorrow we are going to show more about the code behind, and especially about one API that is new. And with that said, I would like to start this presentation. Thank you for coming. My name is Albert Kooijman. I work in the Link team. I do that already for quite a while. Every year they ask me, hey, isn't it time to move on? Isn't it time to do something else? But I have to say, this is awesome. This is an awesome product, and I have seen this product grow from near to nothing to now over a $1 billion product, and the adoption is really picking up. I have been responsible since the more or less the beginning for the developer platform and the marketing of that. And it is very, very hard to understand not only what you can do with the platform, but also what is our thoughts behind it. So I want to spend 5 minutes, well, it's going to be more like 10 minutes in explaining you a little bit about the history, as well as about our vision of where we are taking this and what is actually happening in this very exciting field of communications via the data network. And then I would like to do demos, and like I always have to make a disclaimer, I'm going to do about 15 demos, and the demo gods may be with me, or otherwise you will see a lot of failed demos. I never know. I can never tell in advance, and so unfortunately, it's always on how well I follow the script, and I'm not very good at that. So warning up front. So let me explain a little bit of what is the situation where we are in. Because the world has changed quite a bit. As I said, I was there from the beginning, where we started as Microsoft, trying to define what is our plan to go into the world of telephony. At that very moment, there was a group in research who had built a little tool, and with that little tool, you could control your telephone that was on your desk. Because what was the pain that we effectively identified that was whenever you were behind your desktop at that very moment and you were typing and the phone rings, you actually switch, you pick up the phone, and there was no way to actually relate that phone to that PC. So at that time, 2001, 2002, we were in Windows, we were in Office, Server and Tools was just starting, so we were thinking, hey, it would be great if we actually could do something with that phone. So a big plan was built, and you would have to present that to the top of management, Bill Gates himself. So the plan was put in front of him, and the man was getting more and more agitated when he read the plan, because the plan essentially was, let's try to do something with that phone. And at a certain point in time, he really stopped the meeting, and he asked, guys, sorry for the ladies in the room, there were no ladies in that room. Guys, what is your strategy? And highly paid people tried to give a very educated answer, but he got more and more angry. He said, no! Our strategy is software. And I'm telling this anecdote over and over again because it is really summarizing everything that we have done from that moment onwards. We have really tried to do something radically different. We have tried to transform communications into software. And therefore, if I conclude this portion where I'm not doing the demos, you will see that our vision is still very much aligned with that. Every application that you guys are building, that application is essentially a starting point of communication and collaboration. And the way how we can do that nowadays, all the way up to the highest definition video, and it is through software. We are finally at a stage where computing hardware is powerful enough on the ordinary Intel platform to do that type of stuff. And not only on the PCs, but also on all kinds of other devices. I will come to that in a moment. So we went back to the drawing board, and we started thinking about communications as software. The person who was put in charge, when he looked at the world, Gurdip Singh Pal, he came from the Windows networking group, and he came to the realization at that point in time that the telecommunications world was very fragmented, very siloed. And remember, this is the early 2000s, right? So we are talking here about fax, voicemail, telephone. And he said, if I want to do something radically different, I want to build a horizontal platform in which effectively the mode of communications that I am doing is an attribute to essentially the class of communications, to a conversation. And you can literally, when you start studying our APIs, you can see that philosophy throughout. You add modalities to a specific conversation. And those modalities can be IM, can be voice, can be video, can be application sharing. And can in the future be potentially all kinds of other stuff, right? So you saw, maybe if you are reading the American press, you see all kinds of holographic futures that we are introducing in our labs. So there's stuff to come. But in effect, we built a horizontal platform on which you can do all those modes of communications. So we went to market. OCS 2007 was the first product that was essentially an incarnation of that idea. No more silos, horizontal platform. And what was the shocker? No one wanted to buy it. Well, no one is a little bit exaggerated. I think that every software startup would be extremely happy with the revenue that we made, but there was this incredible feedback. We would like to buy a PBX. We would like to buy a phone. So that was quite a let's go back to square one on our drawing board. Every year, there was this show which was called VoiceCon, in which an RFP of 400 features was presented of what a PBX was supposed to do. And Link, at that, or OCS at that point in time, OCS 2007, lacked about 40 of those features. So from OCS 2007 to Link 2010, what effectively happened was a whole transition where our team was essentially filling those gaps, those 40 features around the telephone. And we essentially pivoted around Link is a PBX. And that's actually throwing away the baby with the bathwater, because we are not necessarily only a telephony platform. Yes, we can do voice, but our philosophy was no more silos, was essentially to be powering everything. However, you can see from an API point of view that if you look at the managed API that we had, you can see a lot of telephony features come online at that point in time. So in the UC managed API, it was the time that we, for the first time, made it possible to build a complete contact center end-to-end on top of that platform, UCMA 3.0. I will show you that demo in a moment. However, marketing started to realize that if you are a PBX, you will be compared to PBXs, and you do not distinguish yourself. So in that point in time, we said, okay, hey, let's refocus our marketing story. And let's refocus it on enterprise communications and collaboration. Let's focus it on all the things that you cannot do with an ordinary PBX. Like, for example, if we're talking about a contact center, why do we not promote more video-based contact centers? However, dark clouds above our heads. And this will explain, again, tying it back to our platform, that we had painted ourselves pretty much in a corner. Yes, we have a fantastic platform in .NET. But in that wonderful world of where there was nearly, let's say, 100% market share of Windows, all of a sudden arose a second 100% of a market that was called the smartphones. And now you have to understand that in order, why am I explaining this? Is because in order to understand our platform strategy, you can see that how we essentially started shifting from that moment onwards, from .NET, to a new API that we will present in great detail tomorrow, which is called the Unified Communications Web API. It doesn't mean that it is going to essentially replace all those managed APIs that we have, the .NET APIs, but all of a sudden we had to be relevant as well for all those platforms that were not running .NET. So every smartphone, every iOS, every Android phone, et cetera, et cetera. So all of a sudden, we came to this realization that where our future lies is in what we call the real-time web. And let's pause here for a moment, because what many people do not realize is that at this very moment, we are at a disruption where at the very essence, there is originating a third network of communications. Yes, we had the fixed phone, more than 100 years. Then the mobile phone came. But the revolution that is happening is that over the data network, a new network is arising. And this new network is essentially a network that is powered by the data network. It's going over the top. So at this very moment, you can see very big players in the market, Microsoft being one of them, but also Google, and to a certain extent, even Apple. In Apple now, for example, whenever you send an SMS, they will decide if the sender was actually on an i thingy, and they will then actually capture that SMS, and they will allow you to only send the message back unless you override it via their network, that SMS back to that other person. And Google is doing what they call WebRTC, which is not really WebRTC, but their proprietary stuff, with Google Hangouts. So Google Hangouts is effectively a network. FaceTime in Apple again. There is a network coming, and that network is slowly, but, well, actually not that slowly, because what happened a year ago? We bought this company called Skype. At that point in time, one-third of all the international phone calls did no longer go via a traditional carrier, were no longer billed through a traditional carrier, but we're going through the Skype network. At this point in time, half of all the international phone calls are going over the data network via Skype. So you have to understand when we are talking about the developer platform, just to relate it back to this presentation, that whatever I'm going to show you, that the future will be in that there is going to be a network of communications, and that network of communications will be software, and it will be going over the data network. So in the progress of the demos that I will be doing in a moment, you can see how slowly we are moving, or we actually are moving pretty fast. We have effectively reinvented every API that we have into a web API, into HTTP. So what used to be SIP, what used to be a message that you send and something comes back and it all goes via that SIP protocol, which was the core of our implementation, is all now abstracted away in HTTP and hypermedia. So if you are looking at all the APIs and the demos that I'm going to show you in a moment, you will have to realize that this new Unified Communications Web API is going to be the mother of all APIs that we have. And everything that I'm going to show you, essentially over time, will be possible in that web API. Now, I'm doing big promises here, because we are not that far yet. We are only able to do instant messaging and some call control, yes, and we are internally already powering our mobile apps and our web app with that web API. But everything is moving to web APIs. So, coming back to my presentation. My presentation is to actually make you realize that whenever you're building an application, there could be a use of this communications component in your application. And the vision of our unified communications platform, therefore, is to essentially power those applications with that communications capability. Now, what am I talking about when I'm talking about that communications capability? Now, there are 1,001 things that you can do. Gurdeep once said it at the Office Developer Conference, anything we can do, you can do better. So that's a very ambitious statement, but it is too many things to actually to realize. So my marketing manager at that point in time, she said, I just can remember three things. So explain me, what can you do with your platform? I said, well, you can optimize communications between people, you can have a machine reach out to a person, or you can have a person talk to a machine. Three things. A bit abstract, right? So what can I do with this platform? In the demos that I'm going to show you, essentially I'm going to show you nine things. I'm going to show you how you can customize presence, that little thingy, that note that you have, and that string that you have, and that color of the bubble, of the presence bubble that you have. I can show you that you can integrate communications in every application that is out there. And I'm going to show you that you essentially, with that communication, can communicate context. I'm going to show you how machines can talk to people. So how you can send a notification and alert. How you can do it interactively. You can do a survey, for example. How you can find experts. Essentially, how a machine can help find the right person at the right time and interact with that person until that person is really, again, back in that person-to-person communication. And then in the last part of the demos, I'm going to show you how to do web chat and how to do query response bots and interactive voice response. So let's now go to the demo time, and let's hope that the demo gods will be with me. All right. I spoke about you can do presence, right? So wherever we are, I don't have Outlook open here. That's actually a bummer. But you, how many of you actually are using Outlook and Link or OCS? Everyone, right? So everyone has seen that little presence bubble. You realize that you can do that yourself, right? So I've got a client here. I'm logged in as in this little tool. This is built in the Unified Communications Managed API. And here there is Albert Koyman, who is busy. Oh, but I'm actually not logged in as a, let's see if I can log in as a Microsoft person so you can see a little bit more richness. Sorry for this. Oh. We all got new PCs, so, oh, did not sign in. Let me see if I can. Is this not correct? Cannot remember my password anymore. That is bad. Let me see. I have to go back. Sorry. Sign in. What I want to show you is that you effectively can customize not only this bar that you have here on the front, that you can customize also this string that you have here, that you can customize the string at the top, and that you, of course, have to rely on a very capable network because it's very slow. Now, there are essentially what I said. There are different things that you have, that you can set. You can set this core of the presence icon here at the left. You can set the string of the presence. You can set the note. And those are, and you can set actually the photo if you are using Link 2010. In Link 2013, the photo is stored in Exchange, so you have to use Exchange APIs, and these are all using Link APIs. So with other words, if I would like to set myself to Do Not Disturb, and I publish this, at this very moment, this color will change into Do Not Disturb. If I would like to do this string differently, now where is this useful? Available, but not really. Oh, and even the spelling mistake comes through. So let's publish it. This. You can see that through this string, you can customize anything that you want. Where is this useful? Well, this is useful, for example, if you are in a context of a line of business application. If you are a doctor and you are, for example, in an operating room, you can set yourself to in the operating room. If you are an agent in a contact center, you can set your status to I'm helping a customer. So this type of activities are all possible. And let me actually set this to a state that people understand what I'm doing. Do not disturb presenting. And I will show you the demo here, but actually I can reset it as well. So what is happening today? And then I'm going to log in as my agent that I'm going to show you in a second. So that's the first demo that I have. I can customize presence. Now let's actually show you how we can use that in real life. You have to forgive me. Demo. Sorry, I have to navigate through here because I closed my window by accident. Come on. Here we are. Here's the website where we are using this in a line of business application. This is using the client API, This is using the client API and using Silverlight at this very moment. And you can see that this in this Silverlight application, I have Tosh, the same user that I'm logged in with over here, and I have effectively integrated the presence stuff and the whole my presence stuff in over here. So with other words, if I change this into busy over here, you'll see that over here, it will change to busy as well. I can see my contacts here, frequent contacts, and that those are exactly the same as my frequent contacts over here. So you have a lot of information that you can actually get across. Now, what is the interesting part here is that if you are looking at the contact list from a project point of view, I'm able to actually make that custom. So I can actually pull all the information, and these are the actual contacts that I'm working with in this particular project. And I spoke about that you cannot only show presence and customize presence, and you cannot only do things like click to call, but you also can customize that presence string. Here, the customized presence string is happy to assist you. So if I would like to talk to Emma, and I would like to start a conversation, I click on this icon, and I can say, well, it actually say available, type hi to start me. I'm actually now talking about a different demo. This is a bot demo. This is an automatic responder demo. So the moment that I say hi, the status will change to helping a customer. And I am actually sending to Emma with this invite, I'm sending information about the website that I'm looking at. So the person who is receiving this message, the extension window of the link client will open, and this only works in the desktop client. And that information that you have on your website is similar, here you've got the other icons, the other information, to what the recipient will see. So the bot is now asking me, how can I help you? And I can say something like, am I on schedule? Of course, I have to type it correctly. And the bot will understand the word schedule. Yes, we are on track to complete on time. Now, this conversation window extension can interact with the conversation. So you have a managed API here, which is the communicate or the link managed API. And in this link managed API, I also can load other applications. One of those applications that I've loaded here is an ability to translate conversations. Now, you have to understand that I'm actually a Dutch-speaking person, so I can actually change this to I'm speaking Dutch, and the target language would be English. So enable outgoing translations, and their language is in English. So the moment that I've configured it, and I said OK, and I say, for example, hey, what is about budget, which is begroting? We are actually coming in below budget. But what you see here is that here in Dutch, it is translated here into English. So you've got an API that you actually can use to make that correlation between what is going on in your application and the actual conversation that's going on. So you potentially could build, for example, like a spell checker, or you could build other information. We have a great use for that. I will show you some other examples of that. So now it says, hey, how can I help you? But I have got enough of here, so I say goodbye. And now the present state changes back to presence. So this was a very initial start of my demos, where you essentially saw how you can customize presence, how you can integrate presence using our managed API of the link client into your own application, how you can start a conversation just like we do in Outlook from any other application, and how you effectively can transmit context from one person to the other. So this is all making the communications from one person to the other person a lot more efficient. Let's actually move on. So the second part was about, okay, hey, I've got a machine actually reaching out to people. The most obvious user scenario there for that is a state where you essentially are you're looking for the right person at the right time. So you're trying to notify a person. Let me actually give you an example of the notifications. Let me actually see where I've got that one open. No, not open here yet, so I have to go back. Missed it. At this very moment, I am going to set up a notification. I am Tosh, m@meteo.ms, and I've got a password, and I'm now logging in into a system, and I can set up a notification. You can set up a notification, and you can make it subject, test, subject. You can write your message, hello world. And then you can give it a schedule. I can send it now, and I can send the recipient. So, and I can give it a high priority if I want to, and I can actually do it via phone as well. So let's actually show you what happens if I do this. At the moment that I do this, it will actually notify the client that I'm logged into that I sent this notification, and it says, hello world. That's the notification. It has to set the topic to set topic, and I can actually snooze it if I want to. I can snooze it for a few minutes. For let's say 5 minutes, and then it will come up again in 5 minutes. And effectively, I have got created here more or less my own alarm clock. If I would do this via the telephone, it would actually ring me in the morning, and it would tell me, okay, what time to get up. Here you can see how a business process, how a piece of software can reach out to people and can notify them. Now, if you start thinking about how useful this can be, it can be useful, for example, to do surveys, etc. But actually, one of our partners, Modality Systems, is using this in order to train people. You can make this notification status aware, present state aware. So one of the things that you can do, for example, is you can look for when the person is free, is available, and you can remind them to do certain things. In this particular case, Modality Systems had built a system for a pharmaceutical company to have them be trained in how to use Link. So when you're rolling out Link and you would like to notify the people when the moment is, okay, I've got nothing on my schedule, my status is available, I can send them a notification and say, hey, would you like to take this training about Link? Let me actually show you what it looks like. So I close my window here. I'm still using that conversation window extension. I'm popping up my client, and there's something wrong with the network because it's very, very slow. Come on. And they've got a little you'll be alerted in 15 seconds. So this is my start of the demo. I now set it. Oh, I have to set myself to available, because otherwise it doesn't come through. And then after 15 seconds, a pop-up will come, or actually whatever your business logic is, this pop-up will come. And it will say, hey, are you able to take this particular demo? And you actually can say, okay, hey, what are the demos that I have? And like I said, there's something wrong with the network because here they finally appear. And I can present them with the video using that conversation window extension and the silver light control in there. And I can train people and at my leisure on what they should be taking as a training. So this is how you can actually use that outbound notifications not only to wake yourself up in the morning, but also to train people at the right moment. Or if you, for example, in Microsoft, we have compliance training. And you're using that conversation window extension to essentially bring the message to them in a more rich format than what we did before. Now, we started thinking about, okay, hey, how can we make effective use of this? How can we actually disturb people at the moment that they are not too busy? And in order to do that, in Microsoft, we came up with a tool which is called I Am an Expert. So let me actually sign in as a Microsoft person again. Sorry for that switching. So this only works inside our intranet. So let me actually make sure that I am connected. So I'm now VPN'd in with a little bit of luck. Connecting, connecting, connecting. And inside Microsoft, we've got this website which is called Help. What we have found is that if you need help, you can take the approach of sending an email alias an email. You can take the approach to post your question on a forum. But it's much more effective if you are effectively able to contact people who are online and potentially able to help you instantaneously. So you can download this the incredibly useful tool for Link 2010, which is called I'm an Expert. And it will present you with a website that very much looks like the following. And I have really no idea why is the network so slow. Maybe I should switch to wireless. I am connected to the internet. This is getting painful. I'm going to try and connect via the wireless. Yeah, but I do not know the password of the demo net. Ah, here it comes. All right. You have to bear with me, of course. There's a capacity problem. But we have over 4,000 volunteers in Microsoft that are available to help people. How do you actually match the people that can help you with the particular topic that you're asking about? This particular bot that we are using for the Expert Finder is essentially a self-learning bot. So in my profile, I can either by giving URLs to the particular website that I have my blog on, or I have my information, like all my documents on. So in this case, I've put my site on here, HCP My. I can have also keywords. And every night, we have a crawler that scans all those pages and finds meaningful words here and essentially assigns them into a bucket. Those buckets are categories. And those categories are then used for whenever someone has a question to actually match that bucket that I have to that question that is being asked. I can set myself to either be limited or not limited in the amount of questions that I do, how many minutes I want in between. I would like to, if you have special groups that have a special topic, like for example, if you are having like a Windows Embedded specialty group, you can actually use it for Windows Embedded. But I'm actually pooling here from 4,101 members, and I am able to reveal my identity, and I am also giving my identity back. So the moment that I have this active, I actually have the ability in Microsoft to contact this bot, I'm an Expert, and say, demo. And I'm now sending to all the Microsoft people, 7 people at the time, that are available and potentially an expert on that area of CEBP. And I'm going to try to find someone who can help me. Literally, and this is unscripted, right? I do not know who's going to answer, and it can be that no one answers. But at that very moment, someone will be found in the end that actually can answer me. We actually keep track of all those questions that are being asked. So here we've got an action item, so a question tab. And I did not hear yet that there was an answer, but there's someone still searching, I think. Still waiting for experts to respond. There's no one yet. This is a little bit faster. Still waiting. Okay. So demo, what is CEBP? No answer. But here, for example, are there any recommendations for Windows 7.5 or 8 for the Wi-Fi settings from a network engineering perspective? I do not know whether we can really view this, right? So at the moment I view this, I can actually see what was the whole alias of what is going on back and forth. So you can see it's a very powerful tool to find people relatively quickly. And this is, so here, Kevin is able to help me, and so I do not know Kevin, so let's see if Kevin knows the right answer. Always funny. communications enabled business processes. Okay, and I can say thanks, ciao. And actually it also asked me then later on either via email or via the instant message to actually evaluate the answer. So if I'm saying I would like to give him a 5, he can earn points with this. So what I just showed you were a set of demos where essentially an expert, where a piece of software is reaching out to people and is able to communicate, either through a notification, or it can be something more interactive, or it can be as interactive as an expert finder, where it's brokering using this unified communications managed API, where it's brokering the finding of someone who has an answer with someone, or the brokering of someone who needs an answer with someone who actually can give this answer. So expert finder. Now, inside Microsoft, we started looking then for, hey, what are other use cases that we could do in order to make it more helpful to use this technology? And in that context, we very easily, of course, land in the topic of help desk. If you are in the help desk business, you would like to use Link. Let me explain you to a few ways of why this is important. On average, when you call the Microsoft help desk, and I will do that in a second, it will take 52 seconds before you're through the IVR menu. So we actually don't use Link. We are calling out to a contact center that is powered by a company called Unisys, and it's an Avaya contact center, and it takes us 52 seconds to go through IVR. So we were thinking, how can we actually make that more efficient? Well, you actually have this application, which is called the help desk. Let me actually find it. And of course, I still could call it. So help desk IT, this is the one. I could call it, and I could say hi. Well, actually, let me show you first what I did when I started thinking about this. I started thinking, why can't we replace that IVR with something that is more simplistic? So if I start the IVR here, why do I need to do that via telephone? Why do I need to do via telephone the selection of the particular topic that I am actually having a question about? Trying to identify the queue of experts that I need to be contacted. I said, why can't I do this, for example, via instant messaging? So press 1 for Windows. So the moment that I press 1, I press 1. And then if I have a Windows 7 question, the network is really slow. You can see how slow the icons are loading. If I press 1 again, I will be connected to someone who is an expert on Windows 7. And actually, I can do that not only via the IM window, but I also can do this via touch. So the moment that I have a question about Office, and I've got a question about Excel, if the moment that I press on Excel, oops, it calls the help desk. And now I need to, of course, very quickly kill it, because we don't want to call the help desk. So that was the first prototype, and it saves us, so there's about 52 seconds, there's about 100 to 110,000 calls per month to our help desk. So you can imagine what amount of money that saves by itself. So our help desk actually went one step further. This is the official menu that came up after they did it. Of course, if there would be a network that is loading now. You could not only present this whole menu, and it will, trust me, it will appear here in a moment, but you can also present what are the open tickets that I have. So, and then I can say I've got questions about hardware, I've got questions about, and depending on what the topic is that I have, I can either call, or if I go back, let me see if there's anything where I can start a chat. It depends a little bit on how your contact center is being, here on SAP, I can only open a ticket. I cannot call the person. But you can understand that by replacing this interaction into an interactive window, and you also can list all the topics that you have there are frequently asked questions about, at that very moment, you can save money and time to your company. Now, this is all very nice and well, of course, in the context of a contact center or a help desk inside your company. But what if you actually start being able to do this for the outside world? Why can't this be done just for any customer that is out there? And That's what was the next step that we started thinking about. Let me actually first show you what it looks like in a real deployment that we have. Let me see if I can find Xbox here in this long list of stuff. But Xbox, they actually took this idea, and they created a program which is called Xbox Ambassadors. In Xbox Ambassadors, there are volunteers, geeks, that we reward with Xbox points to answer questions from other geeks, Xbox players, who have a question. So the moment that I have a person that is essentially having a question, they can click on this link, chat with an ambassador. It will pop up a window, and of course we would not be Microsoft that we first pop up a EULA. And then it will load a window, and I can start asking my question. Now, what is the brilliant thing of this one? The brilliant thing of this one is that the geeks, of course, do not have link. But what did you read in the news about a few weeks ago? That there is now what we call connectivity with Skype. Skype connectivity of link. So in this particular case, all the agents, that's those geeks that are helping the people who are on the public internet, the ordinary customers, those geeks, those are using Skype. And it's the same unified communications managed API, that same application that I showed just a second ago, what we are using internally to actually provide help to Microsoft employees, that is doing the brokering of the person, the ordinary Xbox player, that has a question with a specialist, someone who is really good at Xbox, and help the questions. Now, if I would type a question in this particular window of more than 5 words, so this is to filter out all the particular cases of all those people who are playing around, so we have to type in a real question, then it's passed on at a certain, in the same algorithm that I showed just a moment ago, to a set of people, a set of people that actually can respond via their Skype client being logged in into Skype and are able to respond to the Xbox persons who are having a problem. Now, so with other words, you can take this to the internet. And by taking this to the internet, you actually can make connections to real agents that are inside your enterprise, or in this particular case of Xbox, they are using geeks from outside of Microsoft. So what did I do? So I started building a prototype, which was called Fast Help Web. In this Fast Help Web, I am not using the green color that my Indian colleagues who built the original demo had, but I have a nice white. But you can see the analogy of what I had just a second ago, right? So here, I'm still logged in as Microsoft, but that Fast Help thing that I had, same concept. Here's Fast Help. You can see the analogy. Here on the other hand side, this was a Silverlight application. I don't want Silverlight. I want real HTML. Why can't I bring this completely to HTML? So I'm going to log off on this one, and I'm going to essentially sign in as an agent. In this particular case, Tosh is my agent. Yes, I'm ending all my conversations. Signing in as an agent, toshm@metio.ms. Here we are. Tosh is available, is an agent. And this, by the way, I can set myself to busy as well, but then the questions, of course, do not come through. And now I actually have forgotten under which tile is which demo. So you have to bear with me for a moment. Here I've got the same selection mechanism, right? So if I have a question about Windows, it goes to the Windows window. If I have a question about... Now there are different ways on how, what type of APIs I now can use to actually connect the people. The most easy one is using the UC Web API. And in that particular UC Web API, I have two types of usage. I've got an authenticated use and I've got an unauthenticated use. So in other words, I've got an anonymous customer or I have someone who is in my enterprise. Let me actually show you what it looks like. If I have a question about, and like I said, I do not know through which it goes through, but this is an authenticated use. It asks me to log in first, and the moment that I log in, and this typically takes a while because it first has to fail, Welcome to Meteo Sales. It actually now connects to that same IVR that I have that I will show in a demo just a moment ago. But here it says, hey, what type of product are you interested in? It should not have asked me that because I clicked on Windows. But if I now would say cell phones, like I said, I do not know which demo is hidden under what. And what type of brand am I interested in? I'm interested in an Nokia phone. At this very moment, it will try to find me an agent. And Tosh is the agent for everything, so the guy is very busy. And he says, oh, there's someone with a Nokia cell phone question. Would you like to take this? Yes, I take this. And at this very moment, Tosh will be placed into a conference. And this conference then will be able to say, OK, you're now connected. And I can say hi. And if I go back to this window, I can say hi back. And you can see that those two people are talking to each other, right? So this is the most straightforward way of doing communications. I've left the conversation. Session is over. Let me actually try this again. Interesting, but maybe not too realistic that you want people to log in, right? So let's go to a different scenario. Like I said, have to gamble under which is what. So let's take this one. I think Link might be... So in this particular case, I am not doing completely unauthenticated use. However, I'm actually targeting a consumer. However, I do want to know who is this consumer. Just like with Xbox, I potentially would like to know what is their Xbox ID so I can keep track of the people who are searching for context. Now, on the link side that effectively connects the link user to the agent, I'm actually not using link credentials. I'm here in this particular case, I'm checking out a token. I'm checking out an anonymous token, but I'm actually correlating that token that I'm checking out to actually logging into link with a live ID. So the moment that I effectively log in into the live ID here, I know still who it is, but on the other hand side, link server does not require a real license apart from the external connector for this particular case. And like I said, in a normal network, this would be super, super fast. And it's essentially now logging me in. And you could imagine that you are going back and forth in the same conversation that we would have in a second. I'm actually not interested in that. I'm interested in making a phone call. Now, we have introduced this concept of Skype connectivity. Currently, our Unified Communications Web API is not public with regards to the aspects of voice, video, and application sharing. We are working on it, and it will come. You will be able to do it, but it's not public yet. We are using it in the Link web app. Did people see the Link web app? But in the Link web app, everything that Link can do, you can do inside a browser. So what if you would actually be able to make this connection via audio to that agent, to that contact center first, and then ultimately to that agent via Skype. And again, I have to guess a little bit under which it is. There is a concept which is called Skype URIs. And in the Skype URI, there is now a parameter, which is the parameter link. And that parameter link will actually be able to fire up a Skype call to a particular help desk or to particular unified communications managed API application. Let me actually see if I can show that, if I have a HTML page here somewhere. I can author one. What do you think about that? Test.html. The URI that you have, of course, I now need to remember how to do a URI. I could have done it in Word, maybe. I do not remember how to do a URI. But let me type you the syntax. Skype dot link dot, and then you, sorry, not dot, colon. And then you have to put in the help desk, at meteo.ms. And then you have to do what type of modality you want. So call. If you have the syntax like this, you will be able to make a call straight from your web page using the Skype client without using the actual PSTN network to actually connect to the particular contact center. The contact center having a URI of helpdesk@meteo.ms in this particular case. So let me go back to the web page. So here I've got, like I said, I do not know which one this one is. Here, it logs me into Skype, and it's actually calling Tosh in this particular case. And the call fails at this point in time because I'm not connecting to the help desk, but I'm connecting to Tosh straight away. But with this syntax that I just showed you, you can make a call straight into the contact center. I'm sorry that this demo failed. Now, what if it would be interesting and possible to actually also do this with all the modalities like application sharing? And I think it's hidden under Windows 8. If I have Windows 8, what we do there is we essentially invoke not the Skype client, but we invoke this Link web application, and we are connecting via the Link web application to our friend Tosh. So let's actually see, we're logging in. Can we please get some answer? Toop, 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 toop. Well, it clearly was not this one. Or is it? Nothing is happening now? Ayo. Another demo that is failing. I have to apologize. Yeah, this one is not responding. Let me try one more. Go back to this one. This one was the... I have to try one more time. I have to apologize, but here in this particular case, the web app doesn't come up. Let me actually see if I can show it in a different demo. All right, different demo. What I showed you was that you can bring this to the web. So in this particular case, here we've got a store, and in this particular store, we are using this combination of APIs that we have, essentially powered most of all by the Unified Communications Web API, in brokering customers with the agents. So here I'm still logged in as Tosh. I'm available, but let myself set myself too busy for a moment. And if I now click on this Nokia phone, there's this click to chat with an expert. The application knows that I'm interested in this Nokia phone. And I can give my phone number. For example, if I go sip@microsoft.com, so it will go to my voicemail in a moment, but I put this here. I could put in a phone number as well, but of course I'm logged in and I've turned off my cell phone. And it's now, hopefully, not crashing again. It's established. Trust me that this is usually very, very fast if you have a fast network, fast enough network. So it's actually saying, hey, I am connecting you now to the contact center, and you're interested in a Nokia cell phone, and please wait till we connect you. Now, our agent, the only agent that we have, is busy. But the moment that I switch the status of this agent to available, tap, 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 it should actually be connecting me. Or did it go to you, Karisha?
Yes, actually, it did come to me.
Aha, you should have set yourself too busy. But did you say no, or did you say anything else?
I can say no.
Yeah, please say no.
I said sure, and that was not
okay. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yes, no.
Okay, so Karisha was the agent first who was responding. So I now say yes, it finally comes to me after Karisha says no, that she doesn't want to speak to this customer. And at this very moment, I am again connected to the customer. And you can see here that the agent is anonymized. So there's a back-to-back user agent in here. And I can speak back and forth. And the moment that I actually press call me, it will actually dial out, and you will hear my voicemail in a moment. So it will actually dial out. It will actually dial this agent on the agent side, and it will also dial, of course, the particular customer. Oh, it will first try to connect to my voicemail, but my voicemail is not picking up. So it first will connect to the customer, and then it is, and the creator of here, this application is crashing now. So let me actually close this, and hopefully the whole bot is not crashed. So this is an anonymous use case. Let me actually show you what it actually looks like if I'm logging in as an authenticated user. Again, this is an ordinary customer, so Kelly K. And I'm logging in. Now I can actually see what are the different phones that I have ordered. And here, it will actually give me the option to connect to the help desk or to the sales agent. And the moment that I click chat here, at this very moment, the same window comes up. It will actually find the phone number if I have one, and I press OK. At this very moment, it will ask me the same questions as the other website asked me. So I have to say I'm interested in cell phones, and I'm interested in Nokia. And at this very moment, you have to, again, set yourself too busy. You did already. So the moment that I go available here, I essentially am available. And I am at the help desk this time. And I have to say yes. And I'm now connected. Now let me show you a little bit more. What you see here is effectively that in the contact center, there is an anchor point, which is the same as a link online meeting. It's a conference call. And in this conference call, the only modality that I have, because I'm using the web client and I'm using Silverlight, is the IM modality. However, if you have a conference call, you actually can also connect to other people. So yes, I can say hi. And at this very moment, the agent says hi, and I can say hi back. But imagine that this was a phone call. At this particular moment, I also can decide that I would like to have a sidebar. I would like to have a discussion with someone, someone inside my company that has a particular answer. So what I do in this particular case is I can put the customer on hold. This is the IM modality, but if it would be voice, I will show you the voice modality in a moment. Now whatever I type does not go through to the agent anymore. And now I'm looking for an expert. In this particular case, the expert on a Nokia cell phone is represented as Qs. So here I am having an expert. And if you can set yourself to available now, Garisha. Now, the moment that I press on escalate, it will look for an expert on this particular topic. And Garisha will get a pop-up, who is my expert. She is Manish in my demo. And the moment that she says yes, she will actually, and look at the beautiful turban that she has. She will appear in this conversation, and she can say something like, hello. So here Manish is actually typing, and I can say hello back. No question. Just answers. Now, you see that this particular help desk agent is still on hold. However, if I would like to resume the call and actually conference in Garisha, if you now have an answer, say the answer is 42. If you just type 42, you will see that the expert is 42. Now, from a programming concept, this is exactly the same as a link conference. In this particular case, we have only connected the IM modality. But I could do exactly the same also via the particular voice modality. Let me actually show you that. So as you can see, you can have all kinds of other information here as well. I can have all the customer information of what phones they have ordered. I can put the call on hold. I can end the call, etc. I can even show the roster. And here you can see that Manish, if the moment that I want to call Manish, I could actually call Manish as well and connect to the phone number there. All right, let me finish this one and actually show you what it looks like if I would call the help desk. Now, this demo is going to fail because I cannot call myself. I'm the only agent, namely. But if I call, for example, sales@meteo.net, I'm going to take a risk. This is not the official script. And I do a link call to this. And now I should have the voice go via this thing, yeah? Choop, 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 choop. Network very slow, cannot find the server. Hello. This is embarrassing. Okay, let me try one more time, and otherwise, nope. The voice modality doesn't want to start on this one. All right. You can imagine that, given the fact what I explained, that it doesn't matter what modality you have, whether this is a voice modality or whether this is a video modality. All those modalities can be added to that same conference, and you can show those other capabilities as well. Now, let me actually show you that. So in this particular case, if I have a question about Link, what we have is every of those agents, all of those conferences, they have, essentially, they've got this capability of being in this conference. So here I am in a conference, I'm in an audio call, let me put the call on mute. What I can do is, if I have a customer, I can actually fire up the Link web app at this particular time as well. And let's actually see if it's the, if we're landing in the same conference, loading. At this very moment, it installs the plugin that we have, and it prompts me in the Link web app for my identity. So here I'm Albert, and the moment, this never try this at home because I'm doing this on the same machine, and you should never, of course, talk to yourself. And again, the network is extremely slow. I apologize for that. I did not expect that to have such a slow network on the fixed network. But here, tap, 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 joining the meeting. Looks like you're the only one in the meeting, so we clearly are in different conferences at this point in time. But if you, let me actually show you let's put ourselves in the same meeting. I'm going to do this again. I'm going to re-log in so that I can show talking to myself. Oh, no. I don't want to go to Albertson's. Go away. Okay. You're inside the browser. Microphone is muted. If I unmute myself, I unmute myself here. Hello, hello. Automatically goes to hello, hello, hello. Nope, goes to mute again. But let's actually show some video then. So here, start my video. Inside the browser, inside this particular application, I've got my own video here. And if I go to the conference where Tosh is, oops, close it here, you're actually able to see myself in full stereo. I'm now connected to a customer on the outside. And if I would like to share my screen to show some psychedelic effects, I can actually show my screen, and the agent can see the screen of this particular customer as well. Oh, here comes the prompt, adding a presentation. Choop. Oh, I'm not looking at the presentation. I want to show my desktop. Where am I? Sorry. You can see I'm not. So you're presenting the desktop, and you can see here now how I'm looking at myself and my own desktop. The brilliant thing, however, is that this is running inside the browser. This is this Unified Communications Web API in action, using still private APIs. But like I said, we are working on that so that this is possible also in your own application, and you are able to do these type of things. So let's end this call. Let's end the audio conversation, the video, etc. And let's leave this conversation. I spoke a lot already about this Unified Communications Web API. And what people need to realize is that this is actually also opening up a lot of opportunities for mobile applications. So one of the demos that we built in this particular case is an application which is essentially an application where there's taxi drivers. In this particular case, the taxi driver is near the convention center. It automatically uses my location here under settings. I have made it possible that HaloCab has permission to use geolocation information. I'm logged in as an agent, and this particular agent has a present status. So the moment that I go on break, then the present state will go to, of course, away. And in the moment when the agent has a ride, the agent will have a ride. However, normal customers, of course, are not having any Link application loaded. So in this particular case, let me actually start the application. oh, I wanted to do this from, let me actually do this from Chrome, just to show you the Chrome, that it runs in Chrome as well. Where is the thing? Come on. Imagine. It first asks me who I am, so I can bill via the credit card of this live ID, for example. And now if it's well, it actually also asks me, it's still in Bellevue, but it asks me, oh, now it will actually find myself that I'm very near to the convention center as well. And I can say I would like to go to the New Orleans Airport. And the moment that I press hail a cab, if the demogods are with me, it will actually start locating a driver. And this driver is this guy. So the guy is here, the guy is nearby. It actually finds a customer and says, hey, would you like to find this customer? It needs to go to the airport. I can say yes. And now the status goes to busy. The customer actually gets notified that an agent has said yes. Here it has found a driver, confirm pickup. Now, of course, you don't want your driver to actually say, hey, hello, let me do some instant messaging on my little tablet or on my little cell phone. So it will say, hey, your driver will arrive in a few moments, so let me go to this Windows 8 tablet app. And it has here this capability. Oops, it actually has disconnected myself. This is not very good. Let me see if I'm no longer connected, so somewhere the network connection got broken. So let me actually try this again. I apologize. Oh, I now know why. Because this guy was still logged in and we actually were on Chrome. We said we would do this demo from Chrome. Where so do we? Oh. Okay. Will find me in Bellevue first. I want to allow it to use geolocation. It actually finds me here. I would like to go to the New Orleans airport. Now it's going to locate a driver. Here's the driver. Will it find me? Ta 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 ta. Or is it now completely confused? Ay ay ay. Demos are working, but not completely. It did not find me, actually, in this particular case. It's still locating a driver. Doesn't want to give this one. Oh, this is my hand touching the touchpad. Okay, so you understand what could be done here if you're building a line of business application. It will fail at this particular moment. Let me see if it works. In a moment, this will time out. Let me log in into the Windows 8 app one more time. Egg is here. Oh, sorry. Still locating driver. Nope. It's not going to work. This is bad luck. Okay. Let's see. Now, this is using the Unified Communications Web API, both here in this web application, as well as on this Windows 8 app. And like I said, it also has only instant messaging and other stuff. So let me actually show you what is possible in that particular application. So we have a website which is called ucwa.link.com. Are you sure you want to leave this page? Leave this page. Here we go. In here, you will find what we call the interactive demo. In the interactive demo, we will show you what is possible in this Unified Communications Web API. So at first, what it will do is it will, of course, if we were not Microsoft, it would not ask you for a EULA, but I agree with the EULA. And I continue to sign in. And in this interactive demo, there is an ability to sign in. and it will actually present you with an HTML5 page. And in this HTML5 page, step for step, it will explain that there are three people. And let me actually click this bar away. This is Amy. And you can set the status of Amy through this API. I spoke about that we have effectively transformed everything into HTTP requests. So this is in curl, so that it's more platform independent. But if I change my status to busy or be right back, this is essentially what goes over the wire. It's a post, and here you can set that the availability status is going back to be right back. If I have a status message like doing a demo, at this point in time, the message doing a demo goes over the wire. And we will show you in great detail this API tomorrow. You can also, of course, start subscribing to presence of others. And you can, in that case, also start an instant message. Here we've got two people. This person is be right back doing a demo. Let's set the person to actually available. And the moment that I type hi, this is what goes over the wire. So it's a message. This is the identifier of the message. And the actual text that goes over the wire is hi. Here it is, the text. And if she says something back, like hi back, this is what goes over the wire by her. So I can say hello to make it actually a little bit more distinct. And I can set, of course, the present state of both users, do not disturb, or I can set myself to busy. And I can send instant messages. Now, one of the features that we have in the UC UC Web API is the ability to call yourself back. So Grisha, what is your Microsoft phone number? Oh, you are not logged in as Microsoft. Do you have a cell phone that is on at the moment? 425-943-1474. Exactly. I should not have done this, but nevertheless, everyone in the video. At the moment that I press this button, actually what does the UC Web API do? It actually does the same as when you join a conference. It dials out to the participant. And in this particular case, it will dial to the iPhone of Garisha. And she, as soon as she speaks it on, puts it on speakerphone. All right. So you now just made a call via the link server to the web API. And that is essentially then the ability that you have. So if you conclude this demo and you close it, you will actually see that every person can, on our sandbox, create their own tokens. And with these tokens, you can log in into any demo that you are building using this UC web API without having to set up a server. So there is a sample here. If you go to code, you can download the UCWA helper libraries, and you can install them on your local machine. And we will come back to this in great detail tomorrow. And the moment that you start this, you can, with your tokens in the developer sandbox, you can put in this Meteo domain, and you can put in that token that you were just given, and you can log in into this web API. And with this, I would like to conclude all the demos that I am doing. I would like to call on you to come tomorrow at 8:30 in the same room where we are going to go in great detail more on the low level of this API. Any questions? No questions? Then I thank you very, very much.